Sermon is based on Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let's begin as usual with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Send your Holy Spirit to help us understand this beautiful vision of the mountain of the Lord. Amen. If you could go back in time, what one thing would you change? If you could reverse history, what would you do? Would you rewind to the day that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated and tackle John Wilkes Booth before he could shoot him? Would you try to prevent Hitler from creating the Third Reich? Would you pause time and erase the plans for the atomic bomb? If you could press reverse, what would you do? Maybe you wouldn't go back that far. Maybe you'd go back to that shot you missed at the end of the basketball game, and you'd do it over and over again until it went in. Maybe you'd return to a certain conversation and you'd take back some of the words you said. Maybe you'd go back to the day of the accident and you'd tell that person not to get in the car. If you could press reverse, where would you go? I think we all really like the idea of time travel, second chances, do-overs, you name it. But the fact is that even if you could go back and change something, that wouldn't make everything right. Because there would still be sin and hatred in this world. Eventually someone else would create weapons of destruction and blood would be shed. Relationships would still bring pain. And even if you did cheat death once, it would come for you again. No, if we were really to set all things right, someone would need to reverse our entire fallen creation. And come to think of it, that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what we talk about in Advent. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and shifted sin's effects into reverse, and he promises one day that he's going to come back and he's going to make all things new again. This great reversal is our greatest hope as Christians. And it's what Isaiah sees through prophetic eyes in chapter 2. We read, "This is the message that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This will take place in the latter days. The mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it like a river." My friends, this is a scene in reverse. Isaiah sees a mountain not slowly eroding, but rapidly growing, rising above all the other mountains so that Everest looks like a speed bump in comparison. And nations stream upward, flowing in reverse to the top of this great mountain. Take that, Isaac Newton. The magnetism of this mountain is so great that the current which pulls these nations is stronger than gravity as they flow, splishing and splashing, skyward to the peak. The great reversal continues. "Many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Then he will instruct us about his ways, and we will walk in his paths.' For from Zion the law will go out, and the Lord's word will go out from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will mediate for many peoples. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into blades for trimming vines. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. On this high mountain of the Lord, God's people come together from all different nations." If you remember at the Tower of Babel, the people of one language descended and dispersed across the world to become many different nations. here at the mountain of the Lord, people from all different nations will come together and as one family ascend to live in peace again. Isaiah sees another reversal. He sees that God's word, which was thrown away and rejected, is now pursued by people and received with joy. He sees swords that were once forged to kill, now hammered into the blades of a plow. Peaceful thing to sustain life. Spears become pruning hooks. Warriors become farmers. It's a great reversal. It runs the exact opposite way of the way it fell when we degenerated into sin. This is what Isaiah sees on the mountain of the Lord. So why do you think God sent Isaiah this incredible picture? Why did the people need to see this in Isaiah's day? Well, I can tell you from the rest of his book that we find out that things are in a pretty poor state spiritually in Israel. They had begun to worship on other high places. They had begun to worship idols on other mountains besides the hill in Jerusalem. They had begun to turn away from God's law. They had grown apathetic in their faith. They were giving up on God. They needed to see this vision of what God intends to do for his people. They needed to know that it's worth following God's law and staying faithful to him. They needed to know that one day God will reverse sin and all its effects for those who remain true. I think that's the same reason we need to see it as well. Because it's tempting for Christians of any time to give up on their God. I'd like to picture that with three different people today. I'm going to introduce them to you and just see if you can relate with any of their thoughts. Person number one says, "I remember when we were happy together and how it felt to be united as a couple and a family. What I'd give to reverse the years where we drifted apart. But it doesn't seem like they're even willing to try anymore. I'm not sure it's worth coming to God and working on this marriage." Person number two. "I remember those days when I felt good when I prayed to God. I felt clean. I was so strong back then. It felt great to be free and not dependent on anything. But I've tried to stop this addiction 1,000 times and I've failed again and again. It's not just that I feel defeated. I'm tired of trying." Person number three. "I used to be pretty optimistic. I used to pray more. But I've poured out my heart hoping that people might change, and it feels like I've been pouring it out on sand. I've seen so many walk down the wrong road in my life, and despite my best efforts, I couldn't stop any of them. I'm not negative, I'm just a realist. I don't think people really change." I'm afraid there's a part of each of our hearts that doubts the Lord and his promises about reversing the effects of sin and making all things new one day. There's a part of our hearts that doubts that through the Holy Spirit's power, we too can start to reverse sin and its effects in our own lives and relationships. That's why we need to see this mountain today. That's why we need to see clearly and vividly that our God specializes in reversals. That's what this season is all about, right? In Advent, we think about Jesus as the eternal God who rewound time and reversed his status and came as a newborn infant to a stable of Bethlehem. And he comes to us again and again with this backwards love. And this morning it's no different. Jesus comes to us through word and sacrament, and he reverses everything bad about you. He takes your guilt and he moves it to forgiveness. He destroys your shame and he lifts you up in joy. He takes away the lies that this world tells you, and he instills his truth. He even destroys your death and covers you with his life. My friends, the wonderful thing about the mountain of the Lord is that we not only see a vision of what God will do for all people one day who believe in him, but we see his intention for his people right now. I'm not promising you that if you trust in Jesus, all your problems will disappear. We already know that's not true. But don't listen to the voice in your head that speaks of some irreversible law of repetition. This is just who I am. This is the way it always will be. Don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to people who talk about an inevitable future. This is what's going to happen. I've seen it time and time again. You can't change it. Don't listen to that. Fix your eyes on the mountain of the Lord. Listen to the God who has reversed sin and unraveled the power of death itself. You can, through God's wisdom, work to reverse what is wrong in your life. You can, in this Holy Spirit's power, stand up under temptation. You can live your faith with boldness and with vitality and joy because you know that God has a good purpose for you and an amazing place prepared for you in heaven. This is the joy we have in Advent. So we understand that sin and its effects have been reversed, and we get to be a part of that in God's power. That's exactly how Isaiah applies this great vision. He says, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. After this vision in reverse on the mountain of the Lord, Isaiah encourages believers of all time to walk in faith, faithfully, boldly, because they know what's coming. The view on the mountain provides motivation to walk in faith. There was once a group of hikers who began to climb a high mountain early in the morning. It was still dark out and there was fog wrapped around the bottom of the trail. They couldn't see much more than 10 or 20 feet in front of them. And as the terrain grew steeper, some began to turn back. In fact, more and more left until only two remained, a brother and a sister. Should we turn around, she asked. It's so hard to see. No, not yet, he said. I've been to the summit, and I promise you, the sunrise will be worth it. So they pressed on. It was difficult, and it was dangerous, but they kept going. And as they neared the peak, the fog gave way, and the view stretched before them for miles. It was breathtaking. They could see the small trail that they had taken, winding below them down to the lights of the town and the valley. And when they finally got to the top, the sun began to rise just beyond the horizon. A small sliver of brilliant white that multiplied into rays which lit the sky with color. And a stream of golden light flowed right up the mountain to that small fellowship on the peak. The brother turned to his sister and smiled. I told you so, he said. My friends, right now we're at the bottom of the trail. We're on that hike with sometimes the darkness and the difficulties, the fog of sin. It's not always easy to see God's purposes and his plans. But don't give up yet. Don't turn back. Through faith with Isaiah, fix your eyes on the mountain of the Lord. In the Spirit's strengths, walk in faith because you know that it's going to be worth it. Your Savior, the Son, has risen, and the view at the top of the mountain is pretty incredible. Come, O house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.